You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. In today's episode, we've got Georgie back in the studio with us.
Yay! Hello, Yay. Trade pros. I'm excited. Last time I did that, you're like, you don't sound too excited. So this time I was like, yeah, I'm back!
He's excited and he's back, and we are ready to roll with today's episode. This one's going to be fun, and I hope that you guys don't take it personally, but what I do hope is that you guys do get some great value from today's episode. And so what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about why you can't follow your trading plan. And more specifically, why you can't follow your trading plan and how to fix it. Because we at Trade Pro Academy are always solution oriented. All right. And so you guys are in the right place today. If you find that you're having difficulty following your plan, this is the episode that is designed for you guys. And we all know that trading is really difficult. You know, yes. Trading is difficult. It is often portrayed as, you know, easy way to make money. You can make the market your ATM.
Yes.
But that is not held true at all times. It can be easy when things are going right, but when things are not going right, it can become very difficult, very frustrating. And the interesting thing about successful trading is that it's really unnatural to what we learn as, you know, human beings kind of growing up. So in order to do it successfully, you're going to have to kind of step outside of your comfort zone, outside of your, I guess, the relative norms and beliefs you had about what successful trading is in order to actually do it successfully. So before we kind of jump into this, let's hear a quick message from the sponsor of the podcast, Trade Pro Academy.
Hello, Trade Pros. George here, and thank you guys for listening in. We really appreciate you. You know, today's message is going to be very simple. We're going to be talking about why people don't stick to their trading plans. And it's important to note that sometimes you might feel like you're doing this alone, like you're at home in your basement or wherever you might be. And you have to understand that you're not really doing it alone. Anytime you trade against somebody on the market. So why not trade with somebody on the market? And this is exactly what we do at Trade Pro Academy. We're a team of professional traders worldwide that collaborate together with trade ideas, analysis, and ultimately we ride the ups and downs together with complete honesty and brutal opportunity for you to learn and to develop alongside some of other traders and myself. Me and Mark are in the trading room daily and there to support you, and we're constantly learning. So check us out. Come on out to tradeproacademy.com and have a look at our elite plan to get started with trading education, psychology, and more importantly, and most importantly, trading community.
Exactly. Thanks for that great message, Georgie. I just kind of wanted to add to that because I saw something that I really, really liked from our own community in the Discord channel recently. And that was a newer member kind of stepping up and mentioning that, you know, they had gone through the courses, they had done all of the work, not all of the work, but had done a majority of the work, and they were still kind of finding some challenges, right? So they took the time to actually post that in one of our Discord channels. And, you know, it's no surprise because we've got great community, but our members, our community kind of came to the aid of the member and they kind of shared their own experiences as far as how long it took to kind of start applying the things, getting into the flow of what you learn in those courses and to start seeing results from it. So, you know, further to George's point there, community is so, so important. And, we're going to be speaking on some of that in today's episode. So let's go ahead and get started. So now, as you guys know, a big part of successful trading is having a trading plan, right? Having a trading plan is very, very important because the trading plan is essentially going to list out all of the different scenarios that you might encounter throughout a day. And it's going to be an objective means to operating through those kinds of scenarios. Right. So if you've got a trading plan, more often than not, you want to cover all types of scenarios. What are you going to do in the case where it's a range bound day, a sideways market? What are you going to do if it's a strong bull day? What are you going to do if it's a strong bear day? What about if there's high volatility? Right. a trading plan is important to have all of those things in place and to kind of have something that you can use as a means to operate and to reference throughout the session. Now, just having a trading plan doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. As we tend to see in our positions and even in our own experience, you know, even having a trading plan doesn't mean that you're going to follow it. And that is really what today's episode is about, is why do we as humans have difficulty following through on our plans? And this is more so in general, not just specifically based towards trading, but then we're going to relate it back to trading. So first, we're going to kind of identify why humans in general have difficulty following through on plans. And then we're going to take a look at as how traders, you can go ahead and fix that so that you can be better, more committed to actually following through on the plan that you have created for yourself. So why do we make plans but fail to follow through on them? And at its most basic level, it comes down to the fact that, you know, humans are naturally procrastinators, right?
And, that's true.
You know, humans are naturally procrastinators, and our brains prefer, and the reason for this is because our brains prefer instant rewards to long-term payoffs. And I actually found an interesting term or an interesting quote effect in the research for this episode. And that has to do with what's known as the acrasia effect. Acrasia spelled A-K-R-A-S-I-A. And this is kind of it's a Latin term that was coined by Socrates and Aristotle. And at its basis, it basically refers to the state of acting against your own better judgment.
I love that there's a term for this.
Yes, there's a term for it.
It makes it seem more normal, right? It makes it seem like, hey, this isn't a problem that I'm just having. You know, if there's a term for it, it might be something else that others are having. And, you know, for procrastination and acting against your plan, I wrote down one point here, Marky, that I wanted to bring up. You know, I think procrastination is looked upon like as a negative thing. Mm-hmm. If you think about it from a survival standpoint, procrastination is an attempt to save your energy until the moment you need it, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's like a survival. It's like a deep down animalistic thing. That's why it's so hard to not do it, right? You might have a plan, but then you don't follow the plan because when procrastination kicks in or the subconscious mind kicks in, it overrides all of your planning. And we're going to talk about that through the episode, it seems.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting one. So back to this acrasia effect. It's basically when you do one thing, even though you know you should be doing something else. And let me refer this to trading, for example. Let's say you're a trend trader. Let's say you want to trade pullbacks, right, alongside the trend. And you know your plan is to wait for the pullback to develop, but maybe you missed one or two trades on the session and then you didn't cash the pullback, but there's a juicy fade opportunity coming. Ooh. What does your plan tell you to do? Your plan tells you to wait. What does that little voice in your head tell you to do? It tells you to fade.
Yeah. Right?
You start getting itchy with the fade thing. This is an example of the acrasia effect in reality. When you're doing something, even though you know you should be doing something else. And so this is one of the reasons why it's so difficult for us as humans to follow through on plans, especially as it relates to trading plans, because we are naturally built to prefer instant rewards to long-term payoffs, right? So we know long-term, if we wait for that pullback trade to develop and we take it, long-term, we should be profitable. But the short-term gratification is in getting that fade trade, all right? And so when it comes to planning, when it comes to actually building a trading plan, right? Another thing that I found interesting was that as humans, when we're planning on doing something, when you're planning on it, you are planning for your future self, all right? So you're essentially taking outside of your present moment, outside of your now, and you're looking for the future, right? So when you're making plans, you're doing that for a future moment. However, when it actually comes time to make a decision, all right, but you make those plans for your future self, but now you've already got your trading plan and it's time to make a decision. Do I take this trade or not? All right, now you're in the now moment and your brain is not thinking about the future self anymore. Thinking about the present self. And the present self really likes instant gratification. So if you find, for example, that like this episode is designed, you can't follow your trading plan, this could be one of the reasons why, is because as you're planning for that future self. You're not really planning for your present moment. And we're going to get into some of the reasons why that's the case. But I thought that was really interesting in the research. Do you have any thoughts on that, Georgie?
Yeah, I really love this, Marky. You know, this is really good stuff. We're really digging deep into a very common situation. And I think that, you know, what happens is traders get stuck in the weeds of the day. And what I mean by that is, oh, let me get back to break even and I'll stop. Or let me make a certain amount of money and then I'll stop. Whereas, you know, we evaluate the importance of one single day and under evaluate the importance of a career.
Yeah.
Right. And so it puts everything in the real time. And then now it's like, it's survival instincts. Like, I got to get through this. And, you know, you got to ask yourself, or what's going to happen? You know, what if you don't come back for the day and just finish minus $100 out of minus $1,000? So I think this is really cool in terms of instant gratification. And there's a lot of psychology that's really deep on this. And so I'll incorporate some NLP as we go along into this as well for you guys.
Awesome. So that's what we're kind of hoping for here. And one of the things I found really interesting as it relates to planning, right? It does not necessarily have to be for trading, but as it relates to planning, is that sometimes just making the plan, you know, you might be anxious about something, right? So let's use an example, a real world example. Let's call it, I don't know, let's call it working out, right? Let's call it, for example, you're planning on working out and you're saying, all right, you know, I'll use the example of myself first. So many examples. So during COVID, I probably lost 10 to 15 pounds. And so I'm sitting at around 165 pounds. And my ideal or my usual weight is around 180, 185.
And that's muscle mass. Because I got to say, you look good, but you look good before. Okay, anyways, thanks. It's just like it's not like Marky lost fat here. He didn't have much of it to begin with.
Appreciate that. But if you relate it back to fitness, for example, right? I know that I want to get back up to a certain weight. And so for some people, just making the plan, right? I could put in a plan as far as what my workout's going to be, you know, what my nutrition plan is going to be. And for some people, just making that plan reduces the anxiety around what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess my example wasn't the best because it's gaining weight. Most people are trying to lose weight. So let's say you're trying to lose weight. And you know what you got to do. You put in a plan. You got to do a certain amount of workouts a week. You've got to have a certain nutrition plan. And just putting that plan together to the subconscious mind may reduce the anxiety around you losing weight. So you can have the plan in place, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to follow through on that plan and actually action it. Because once you put that plan together, you know, the anxiety that drove you to put the plan together in the first place, it gets greatly decreased. And research actually shows that planning the goals is almost like achieving them, your subconscious mind. And
So it's taken away a little bit of the, you know, the positive reinforcement once you do achieve something as soon as you plan it.
So it's basically handled so that you lose focus of the real reason for the plan once you actually put it together. So further to this point, having the plan is important, but just having it's not going to get you where you need to be. You've still got to have a certain amount of things in place in order to actually accomplish that. So that's what we're looking at right now. All right. So we've got the acrasia effect, the fact that humans are naturally, or our brains rather, prefer instant gratification to the long-term payoffs. And that the acrasia effect, you know, when you know you should be doing something, but you do something else instead. These are some of the reasons why humans fail to follow on their plans. And so when you actually fail to follow through on the plan, the subconscious mind knows the real reason that you made those plans in the first place and that it's not a good enough reason to actually do the work required. Isn't that interesting?
Super interesting. You know, I wrote a few notes of something I want to touch on here, Marky, in a second. I'm gonna circle back with you, but you know, this is leading to a massive realization for myself too.
Awesome. Yeah. So that's really the benefit of this podcast is we're also learning along the way too. So this is something that I thought was really interesting as well, is that when you actually fail through or not fail through, but when you fail on following through on the plan, the subconscious mind says, it wasn't a good enough reason to start with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so another reason why people may fail to follow through on their plans is simply because they don't know how they work best for themselves. And this more so relates to, you know, finding a template, you know, online, you know, finding a workout template, finding a trading plan online. You might not follow it because it might not work best for you. You might not know your own experiences, what works for you. And we often mention this as it relates to trading and having a plan and strategies, is that it's got to fit your personality, right? If you find something, a trading plan, for example, that doesn't fit your personality, but you know it can work, even though you know it can work, because it's not aligned with yourself, with your characteristics, with things that make logical sense for you to follow, you're going to have issues actually following through on it. So those are some of the reasons, in quick summary, as to why humans generally fail to follow through on their plans, is because we prefer that instant gratification over the long-term payoffs, and that, you know, the subconscious mind knows immediately if you fail to follow through on something, the reason behind that. Maybe the why wasn't strong enough. Maybe your reason for putting together that plan wasn't strong enough, and you might have to revisit that. And so we're gonna talk about that here shortly. Just a couple more points on this topic before we get through this.
Awesome. And I just wanted, can I share my realization?
Yeah, of
course. I just wanted to bring this up because I think this is important. Like, if you just think of society, let's just take a step back from trading and the plan. Think about the evolution of like the human species. About 100 years ago, people were in communities. They weren't connected as much, right? So One person would do everything. They would have an idea. They would create it. You know, there's the elder people that you would go to for advice on anything. Nowadays, you look at the industrialization in this era of having people like the Ford plant. All you do is put the engine in. All you do is wire the brakes. Everyone's given these like specific tasks, Mark. And I think we've kind of lost sight of the whole. And I think this is where the problem happens, because what happens if you go into a new workplace, let's say you start out with an entry job, what's your goal as a career progression move? For you to get into management, hopefully.
Yeah.
Next right?
step on the ladder.
Yeah, climb the ladder. And when you climb that ladder and you become a manager, now what are you doing? You're delegating resources, you're creating plans, but you're delegating that for somebody else to do. So there aren't really many roles where people think of the thing and then end up doing it at the same time. So it's like you're either doing somebody else's work or you're planning work for somebody to do for you. And I think this is where we've lost touch to that, like, you know, create a plan and then execute it. And there's one question from NLP that I'll ask you guys is, think to yourself, you get more pleasure from starting things or from finishing things, right? And what do you get more pleasure out of, Marky?
I would consider it a loaded question because it depends on the circumstance. I mean, for me, it always, what a trader's answer, right? It depends.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you must be a trader.
I like, it depends on where it goes with it, right? I like starting things if it's going to go in a good direction, it's going to help people. But I also like finishing things for like for closure.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I guess it would depend on the circumstances, my ultimate final answer.
I think we could do a whole podcast on this because I know you got a lot of notes. I'm going to make it very brief. I feel that I personally am a finisher. I love starting things because I'm opportunistic, but I get this anxiety brewing. Like right now with Trade Pro Academy, we have all these projects,
yeah,
right? And we're so excited to bring you this stuff, but we got to start closing out on some of them. And so if you're a starter, you're going to be one of those person that just looks for a bunch of trades. Oh, here's a trade. There's a trade. There's a trade. And you're going to love them all with excitement. Or if you're a closer or a finisher, you're somebody who, you know, you don't really value the plan as much. You value more completing the trades according to that plan. And so I get stuck in the weeds some days when I'm trading because it's like, you know, I got to get back to break even. Like now this is something I have to finish. And I get caught with a lot of, you know, losses trying to avenge something so small. So like, if you're a starter, keep in mind that you might have 100 different plans and you should work more on trying to finish some things. And if you're a finisher, you should try to see some value in the starters as well. So I think this kind of goes into play as well in this episode in terms of planning. Figure out who you are and what you are and then mold that to yourself. Because you got to understand, you know, as we're going to go through this episode, having a plan is one thing, but following it's an entirely thing altogether. And I like the procrastination. That's how I thrive. I'm like, I got a week. I got 4 days. I got 1 day. oh crap, it's tomorrow.
Isn't that, I could have sworn that that's somebody's theory or somebody's law where people that, I don't know if it's a personality trait, but it's like the people that kind of procrastinate, they tend to work best when there's like a time pressure on them.
Yeah.
There's a certain deadline and then that's when they tend to work most effectively. The reason I know that is because I am the exact same way.
Yep. You know? Me too, man.
Like I'll know if we have like if we have projects, I'll obviously get started on it, but the majority of the work and the finishing of it happens relatively close to the deadline.
We're similar in that respect. Yeah. And you, when I first looked at you in the eyes, Mark, you and I would go a long way together. Yeah. It was love at first sight, but I'm like that too. I'm a procrastinator and I need pressure. And the downside to that is sometimes when it's not a pressure situation, you want to make it a pressure situation. There's been days where I've had really good trading days, like yesterday and even today as well, like good trading days, and I give up the profit, all right, because it just felt easy. And then I get into the next trade, I get a little bit of pressure on my shoulders. I'm like, okay, now I'm alive. You should just, you know, you shouldn't expect things to be hard or to be in pressure. So that's a whole different discussion we could get into. But I love this. This is going to be a very helpful episode for you guys.
Yeah, I like where we took that. Yeah. And, you know, going back to planning in and of itself, right? During the planning stage, things are static, right? And there's a lot less stress when things are static, when knowledge is known, as opposed to when you're actually executing on those plans, everything's dynamic.
Right.
There's dynamic, information is dynamic. There's a lot of different variables at play and things are constantly changing. So oftentimes traders might have the plan based on static information, but when things start moving, you know, that plan just might get thrown out the window based on the information they're currently seeing.
Absolutely, and man.
Oftentimes that is as a result of, you know, our human tendency, which is to act against our longer term self-interests by getting caught up in short-term needs, right? And to kind of relate this back to trading, you might have a plan that's going to keep you patient. And Georgie and I were actually talking about this today. You know, I was mentioning that my plan in the current market environment, I think I'm being too patient. You know
right.
what I mean? I feel like I'm waiting too long and not getting as many trades as I think I should be getting, but I'm following the plan, right? And the issue, not that there's an issue, but the challenge there becomes, for example, something like boredom. You know, if you know you're supposed to be patient, you know you're supposed to wait for things. What happens if you start getting bored because you're not getting those opportunities, right? So for someone that might not be able to tolerate boredom, if your plan requires a lot of patience and then you have an issue with boredom, you might find yourself taking boredom trades instead of following your plan to satisfy that short-term need of taking a trade, right? It's a boredom trade. You're bored. You need to find something to do. So what's your short-term? The short-term action is to take a trade because I'm bored, right? And then that might not be part of your plan. And all of a sudden you're here saying, all right, now I got to avenge this loss. And, you know, the rest of the trading unfolds itself. But it's more likely than not part of the plan, because if you had done what's part of the plan, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah.
Right.
And I blame that on, Marky? You know, like we're told in our industry that if you're going to trade, you got to remove emotion, right? Yeah. I think that's terrible advice, because what happens is you bottle up that emotion and you can't, like, I don't care who you are and what plan you have, you're not going to follow it 100%. There's an intuitive component to everything. Like I would challenge anyone to submit a plan that they followed 100%. Like even algorithms don't follow the plan 100%.
Yeah.
So it's like when you're, like Marky said, when you're in that boredom mentality and you've been taught to avoid emotion, and then a little bit of emotion creeps in, you bottle it a little more, you bottle it until it explodes. And then you blow out 3 weeks of profits in one day and you didn't follow the plan. So it's like, it's a really interesting thing, this topic, because part of me wants to tell you, create a solid plan and stick to it. But the other part of me would be lying if I told you I 100% always follow my plan. All right. And I think the difference between somebody who's been trading long enough and somebody who's just new is you when you're new, you expect perfection. And when you've been doing it long enough, what's more important than the plan is to know yourself enough to know when you're about to go off that, like, that road that detours you. You know, like you're driving.
I know exactly the point that you're referring to here. It's I call it the point of no return.
Yeah. You see that temptation creeping and, like, at the corner of your eyes, like, should I stop? But you're on the highway. You got to get to your destination. But you see somebody, like, waving one of those pizza flags on the road. You're like, what should I do? And it's being able to catch that moment. I think the problem is people focus on avoiding it and they create a plan. They think this plan is now, like you said it, Mark, you're creating a plan today for your future actions, right? But then when the future actions happens and it's real time, you know that you're going to survive without following a plan. You know, like, what's the worst that could happen? And real time is more important. So it's like being able to catch the real time moments where you're about to deviate your plan and do something before that happens. That's the game changer right there. That's what it was for me.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that. Because if you were to look back at any of your worst trading days, in 99% of those cases, there was that one trade that shouldn't have happened that led to the downfall or the meltdown, if you will.
Because that detour from doing everything as planned to, like, you know, that moment where it takes you off the main route, that detour is like, it looks like a nice road, but it's suddenly bumpy and like you're not equipped and you can't turn around. You know, that road ends with a crash always.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's exactly, I'm kind of laughing because I know this through my own experience, right? There are times, like Georgie said, we're all human, right? So you might have the plan, but there have been times where I'm like, you know what? This has been playing out this way. It's not part of my plan, but let me give this a shot, right? And then as soon as you give it a shot, it might not work out and you're like, oh shit, this is what I get for not following the plan. And now you're in the case where, all right, now I got to make this back or now I got to do this. And then that leads to, you know, the next thing that you shouldn't have done, which leads to now I'm chasing the market. Now you get down a certain amount that you say, all right, now I really have to make this back.
Yeah.
And then that gets you into even more trouble, right? So I think what Georgie said is super important as far as having the plan, but you get to a certain point where having the plan is one thing, but being able to catch yourself in those moments real time where you're about to deviate, I think that is even more important than the plan in and of itself, right? Because the trading plan is great, but if you can't follow it, then it's not really going to do much for you. So to George's point, you have got to be able to not ignore, you know, these short-term needs, right? You can't ignore them. Like, you can't bottle them up. In this case, you know, there are different types of emotions, right? It could be boredom. It could be fear of missing out. It could be, you know, greed overpowering you, wanting you to get into the market. And, you know, these are human emotions and you can't bottle this stuff up. What you try to do is you want to find constructive ways to meet those short-term needs without ignoring them, all right? Because that's what ends up leading to the self-sabotage, right? So I'll give you an example, like a smoker, for example, somebody that likes to smoke. So, you know, their short-term need is like the oral, that's going to sound really weird to say, but like the oral, the oral gratification, right? Most people that smoke don't like smoking.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Most people, if you were to do it again, most people wouldn't start smoking, but it's just a habit, right? And it's just a habit of putting something in the mouth. And it could be because that's what to you means taking a break, or that's what to you means relieving some stress if you're in a stressful situation, right? So a smoker, what they can do is, you know, to satisfy that oral gratification, is they can instead chew a piece of gum as a substitute activity to actually smoking the cigarette, right? So as traders, what we want to do is we want to be able to identify what our short-term needs are and to construct creative ways to kind of work around that without sabotaging your execution of the plan. And that's exactly what we're going to get into now.
I love it, Marky. I think there's like another list, not surprised at all, of the most effective ways to follow your plan. I want to mention one brief thing before we jump into this list, because now we're going to start focusing on how to follow your plan.
Yes.
All right. But before we do that, just remember this. You're going to have a plan and you're sometimes not going to follow it, or things aren't going to go according to your plan. And if you're somebody who likes plans, why not also make a plan of what's going to happen when you're not following the plan? Because at the end of the day, it's like you either follow it. Look, most people don't even have one. So if you have one, you're ahead of the game, all right? But if you're following your plan, sometimes it's going to lead you astray. why do we plan? Like, what's the point of making a plan? Marky, what's the point of you making a plan for anything? Just curious.
The point of you making a plan, usually it's to achieve some sort of goal.
Right. To achieve a goal, and to achieve a goal, that means you're going to avoid other stuff. At the end of the day, I think it's fair to say, would you agree that a plan is to give you certainty so you avoid failure?
Yeah.
Right? And so, and I think that's right where we need to be, because it's not always about avoiding failure. If you're in the trading business, you're going to fail every day, right? If my win rate last week was like 40% and I still made money, would you want me to be your surgeon? No, right? So it's like,
hard no.
What we're dealing with here is constant failure, and we got to like work our way through that, and don't let failure of a trade dictate the quality of your plan, all right? I think that's what's important here, is like, follow your plan, but also know that when it goes like to the left side or something kind of falls apart, have another idea of how you're going to get yourself out of that plan. All right. Cause it's, things get dangerous real quick out here in the markets.
Yeah. I like that you brought that up. So we'll start with number one. And this is kind of along the lines of building a plan. But the number one here is build a plan that you trust fully. All right. Now, this can be somewhat of a catch 22. Especially for newer traders, because for newer traders, before you can really trust a plan, you've got to see that it works, right? Yeah. And the only way to see that it works is to experience it. So there, that's the catch 22, is that new traders might not have the experience. So you're learning to trust something that you don't know is going to work at first. So that is one of the challenges. And the interesting thing is that, you know, markets don't follow any rules. And so humans, again, as we are by nature, when we don't have rules to follow, we go by instinct, right? And the unfortunate reality is that instincts don't really tend to bode well as it relates to trading.
Absolutely.
All right. So unless, like I mentioned here, unless you've actually traded with real money at risk before, you're going to know that following the rules can be extremely difficult to do consistently. And I mentioned here that the biggest challenge for newer traders is to build a plan that accounts for all the possible scenarios that can occur during a single session, because they might not have experienced all of those things, right? So having a plan doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to trust it. After all, how can you really trust it? You've got to follow it. And if you're going to build a plan, you're going to have to follow it, and you're going to have to put your trust into that plan. And the only real way to build that trust is by following it for a certain time over a certain period of data or a certain amount of data sets to see if it produces, you know, the results that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And so that is really number one, the most effective way to follow your plan is to actually experience it working so that you can trust it fully and give yourself enough time in doing so, so that you can have confidence when it comes to real-time execution. You know, rule of thumb, you can give yourself, say, 90 days or so. You know, if you're a little bit more of an active trader, you know, you can give yourself 30 to 60 days. But regardless, before you can actually trust the plan, you've got to see that it works. And the only way to do that is to actually follow it, right? Because you can't say, if you've got a plan and you don't follow it, and then you look at your results and say, oh, my plan doesn't work. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is you put the plan together, you follow the plan as you put it together, and you see what the results show. If they show that it's giving you what you want, okay, good. That's giving you something you can have a little bit more confidence in. Anything to add there, Georgie?
I really like this point, making a plan. And I want to put, in addition to what you've mentioned, Mark, just a little add-on. Just remember that plans change.
Yes.
And so I think when we think of a plan, the most important thing is we find a solution that is like long-term. Because as humans, we want to just minimize the energy that we put out for the things we receive. So the quickest way would be to, hey, let me find a plan that works forever so I never have to do it again, right? But that's wrong, because the markets are constantly changing and your plan has to change. And I think a lot of people that struggle with this concept are solution seekers, like engineers. You know, they love to find a solution to things and then automate it, right? That's kind of their whole thing. I started as an engineer. The problem with that is the trading isn't one problem that you could fix. You're not going to fix trading. And trading is an ongoing problem with extreme complexities on a daily basis. So you're not looking for a plan to be presented as a solution to this market problem, right? You're looking at a way to exist within that problem. And I think that's where people get caught up, is that you want to find a solution for something that works forever. But the point is, think of the market like a workplace where you fix one thing and you go in the next morning and there's a whole other problem.
Yeah.
So the mindset is, this plan is going to help me kind of adjust and adapt to an ever-going problem versus this is going to be the solution. Because when you put too much focus and emphasis on one plan that's going to fix everything for you, what happens is you might miss the things that actually matter. You'll fail to adapt and enhance your plan, right? You're going to just stick to it and then you're going to live and die by it. And know that a plan is an evolving document. It's an evolving piece. You're going to have to review it regularly as you get more experience or become better at creating them. But make it one that you trust fully right now, and then know that you're going to have to change it. You're not looking to cure the problem in life. You know, you're not looking to solve cancer with this plan. You're just looking to give yourself a shot, and that might change down the line. Like, trading is very, how do you call it? Like, definitive is when there's like, this is how you do it. Trading is the opposite of that. It's like the [S2] Yeah. [S1] Wild West. You know, there's no definitive way to do stuff. You're constantly adapting, learning, and you're constantly head on into the problem. You're not avoiding a problem. You want to work with it. So I don't know, maybe that was a long-winded way to tell you that, you know, create a plan, but it's going to have to change down the road. It's not forever.
Yeah. The one other thing that I will add to that, and I kind of touched on this at the beginning of the episode, was that when you're building the plan, it's got to be something that makes sense to you, right? And far too often we see people, you know, reach out to us and say, hey, you know, can I expect these kinds of results with your trading strategy? How long does it take to do, you know, this and that with your trading strategy? And, you know, the unfortunate reality is that even with, let's say, George's strategy or my strategy, it doesn't mean that you're going to make money, right? Because it might not align to what works for you. You know, George's style is a little bit more active than I like, and I know that. And so as a result, I often trade less on a daily basis than he does, because that's what fits my personality. I don't like to be in the scenario where I have to flip my bias, or I can be flipping my bias within a couple of seconds. You know, I'm more of like a type B personality. I like things a little bit slower paced where you can plan for it. And so that's reflective in my trading plan, right? We still trade the similar strategy, but I've adapted it to my own personality. And the only way that you're going to trust your plan outside of actually experiencing it work is by having rules and strategies that make sense to you, right? If you're buying a market, there's got to be logic behind why you're buying it. It shouldn't just be because there's a level there, right? There's got to be concepts to it, right? So we like, for example, the break and retest. The psychology behind the actual strategy or the pattern is that you're looking to get into the market when traders are getting stopped out of the market. So right there, if that makes sense to you, okay, you can take your next steps into how to actually identify that strategy or that setup and then how to trade it, right? But if it doesn't make sense to you, if the strategy that you're trying to trade is maybe a breakout strategy, you know, buy high, sell higher, sell low, sell lower, and that doesn't really align with your personality type, you don't like to be the person that's buying tops or selling bottoms, guess what? Probably not a strategy you're going to have an easy time following, because it doesn't align to what makes sense to you. So that's kind of what I wanted to add to that point. Just make sure that it's aligned to your personality, the characteristics that you like. And the unfortunate reality is that you've got to put in screen time. You got to get experience in the markets to really see what jives with you and what doesn't. And this is why we often say that trading is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Because these things take time. And the longer you spend in the markets, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll kind of build until you get that full complete puzzle. And that's your trading plan.
I love that, Marky. That's a really good add in there on that first point of building a plan that you could trust fully. Let's go on point number two of the most effective ways to follow your plan. Number two, have an accountability partner. You know, like, I don't understand why this one is so hard for people to just realize that you need. It's like anything else we do in life, we have somebody that we do it for, or somebody that reviews our work. But suddenly when you go trading and you're doing it by yourself in the basement, it's easy to get away with mistakes. And I think accountability partners are the most important at the very beginning, right?
I would argue, yeah, at the beginning, but I would argue it's as important throughout the whole journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having one at every step of your journey is important, but at the beginning, I say it's particularly important. By the way, accountability partner, somebody who could review your results and that you could talk to about your trades, having somebody that's in a similar development level as you, because, you know, with the accountability partner thing, if you're not showing people what you're doing, you're going to allow yourself to get away with more and more mistakes. And you're until one day you become an impulsive trader. And once you get to that level, it's almost impossible to unravel those behaviors, all right, that you could have prevented from accountability partner to begin with. You know, you might be trading sim and you think, oh, well, buying the dips and keep adding lots until it comes back, it doesn't matter because it's only sim and it's not live money, but your subconscious mind is always listening. All right. Everything that you do in repetition, live or sim, becomes a habit and a pattern. And an accountability partner can help you undo mistakes before they create lasting changes for you. The accountability partner is one of the biggest reasons we recommend joining a community. All right. It's because you have other people in the same level as you that are willing to share their results and then review your results. When we did the group coaching this past run, that was one of the biggest benefits. The ability for them to say, hey, you know, I didn't see things this way. And you could learn something from both having your results reviewed and reviewing someone else's results. And I love it. You know, to me, I learned a lot through reviewing journals and working with traders myself. I'll learn a ton of things. It helps me never forget the days of when I started out, you know?
A lot of times, you know, humans, people are going to do whatever it takes to avoid being embarrassed or to, you know, to look like a fool to others. And like Georgie said, if you're trading by yourself, you don't really have an accountability partner. It's very easy to kind of loosen up on your rules, to kind of let yourself get off with things that maybe an accountability partner wouldn't let you get off with. They'd call you out on those kinds of things, yeah. Right? So it comes back to, I think, one of the episodes we did on the benefits of trading in a community is that an accountability partner, if you know that at the end of the day, you have to share your trades with somebody else, that in effect in the real time is going to, not guaranteed to, but has a higher probability of preventing you from taking trades you shouldn't, because you know that at the end of the session, I got to tell George or I got to tell Victoria why I took these trades. And if I can't give them a good reason why I qualified this trade, then I'm just going to look stupid or I'm going to look like I don't know what I'm doing. And it's that fear of embarrassment or that fear of looking like a fool that may just make you follow your plan. And as weird as it sounds, you know, that's step number two or tip number two is the accountability partner, because Like Georgie said, you know, people, when it comes to themselves, especially as it relates to trading, I think trading is one of those few industries where people aren't very open with their results,
right?
You know, good or bad, and especially if it's bad, because nobody wants to, you know, tell their spouse that I'm down X amount for the day or I've lost a kid's retirement by doing X, Y, Z, right? By being able to speak about those things and sharing, for example, what your plan is with your accountability partner at the beginning of the session, pre-market, or even telling a friend or family member, and then just reviewing that at the end of the session. How did you follow your plan, right? Even if you don't follow your plan, you can identify the reasons why or where you could have actually followed the plan. And that leads to more progress. And at the end of the day, successful trading is just about continual progress.
I love that, man. Like you mentioned the point, Marky, and I think it goes to the fact that human beings are tribal, yeah. Right? We want to belong to a tribe. Check us out at tradeproacademy.com, the best tribe in the world. But what I was going with that is, you know, think about back in the day. Let's go back to like, forget about all this technology, modern world. I like to think of things in terms of way back, like our ancestors. You think that if you screw your community over, you're going to make it. You're going to be taken out to the woods and you're not going to come back.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's the same concept here. That's extreme. No one's going to, you know, you're not at jeopardy because you trade bad. But I think it needs to be brought to light. Everything you do needs to be brought to light at the beginning. You need to share your results. You need to have somebody that has your back. Because once you try to make this a me versus the market reality, where it's just me closed off in my mind, no one knows what I'm doing, and it's a big secret, you're going to open yourself up to some devastating things. Okay, it's a lot of pressure. It's not you versus the market. It's you and your team versus the market. And so I love this one. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts. Get an accountability partner. Everyone at Trade Pro Academy is willing to, not everyone, but a lot of people are willing to be that partner for you.
Exactly. And so that brings us to point number three here. And this one is a bit unorthodox. Mm-hmm. This one's really a bit unorthodox. And so step three, or the third most effective way to follow your plan, can actually relate to your lifestyle choices and your diet.
Yep.
Huh. Who would have thought? Right. And so the first point I have under this topic is how you do one thing is how you do all things.
Love that saying.
Right? How you do one thing is how you do all things. And so as it relates to trading, you know, your environment and your lifestyle choices are super important, right? So you don't want to be sat in front of the screen if you're upset at your wife, for example. You might have had an argument with a spouse. That's gonna distract you from getting into the trader's mindset. Something similar is, you know, distractions. If you find that when you're trading, you tend to get distracted really easily, whether it's, you know, noises, I don't know, whether it's going on the internet, doing random things. If you tend to get distracted easily, then you've really got to focus on forming the right environment for your success, right? So to get in that trader's mindset, you got to eliminate distractions. And we did a great episode. I think it was episode 27 on how to build a high performance trading environment. That's really going to help you guys out, because what you want to do with your lifestyle is you want to determine your active working hours. And then you kind of want to make it a priority to limit the distractions around that time, right? So if, you know, for example, we like to trade the US cash open until the Euro cash close. So that's usually 9:30 a.m. till around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. So we know within that hour and a half, 2 hour period, that is our work time. So we want to minimize any distractions in and around that time so that we can remain focused and be in the trader's mindset. Similarly to that, if we know that we're going to be trading from 9:30 to 11, obviously you're going to want to have some good sleep. You're not going to want to wake up tired, all right? Because if you're waking up tired, that's also distracting you from the focus. So that's another lifestyle choice. How early or how late do you go to bed, depending on how early you have to be up to perform, right? So that's another thing that you would consider. And finally, you know, the diet part of it really just comes back to, does it support what you're trying to accomplish, right? The food that you eat and drink, it should not make you tired. In fact, it should do the opposite. It should make you more alert. So if you're waking up and you're eating a breakfast of maybe a sugar-filled cereal, for example, versus a breakfast of, say, you know, an egg omelet and some oatmeal, which one is more likely to sustain you throughout the day? And which one's more likely to not give you distractions? And distractions would be something like, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten that. My stomach hurts. And then, you know, you're not at your trade station for the time that you should be, where the opportunities are present. And then you might come back, might be outside of your regular working hours, and then you might not be following your plan, right? So lifestyle choices and diet, this guy is the unspoken one, but I think it's very important as it relates to following your plan. Because like we said at the beginning of this point, how you do one thing is how you do all things.
Love that, Marky. I've finally gotten kind of a grip on diet in my like mid-30s. You know, I just view food now as fuel, and it's taken away a lot of the bad choices I would make, because I kind of yo-yoed with this back and forth. But to the point of lifestyle choice and how you do one thing is how you do all things, I'm going to give you a potential warning sign that trading for you could be challenging at the beginning. And just as a warning, so you know, all right, if you made a plan to lose 20 pounds and you've broken that plan the last 15 years in a row, right, there's a chance there's something going on there. Or if you made a plan to go on vacation and that hasn't happened, if you made a plan to finally ask the boss for the raise and that hasn't happened the last 7 years, how you do one thing is how you do all things. So if you have a history of breaking plans and not following rules, I don't think trading is going to be any different. I think that's a cue for you to work on your psychology and maybe your lifestyle and diet. Because look, at the end of the day, what you eat is fuel for you. And so if you're not fueling yourself properly, the performance factor isn't going to be there, and trading is high performance. So I think I'm really happy this is on the list because it's super important. So look at your lifestyle choices in the past and ask yourself, am I ready to start and break another plan? Or should I work on like, what's the crux of the matter here? Why is it that I'm not committing to things? And I think if you work deep down on a psychology level and you clear that hurdle, not only will your life be so amazing after that, but you're going to have a better shot at following the trading plan too. All right. And I'm a guy that, you know, I have these ambitious plans always, and they don't always 100% pan out, but I always stick and follow through to my plans. All right. So you got to kind of ask yourself and take a mental inventory. Is this something that's going to be a challenge for me? Because if you're used to breaking plans, you know, I could give you Warren Buffett's investment plan and you're going to lose money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And kind of sound like a broken record, but the last thing that I want to add to this point is to kind of relate it back to cars, right? If you got a high performance supercar, let's call it a Lamborghini. Lamborghini, just kidding, guys. Or a Ferrari, for example. How well do you think that vehicle would perform using 87? What's the lowest one? 87 unleaded gas?
Yeah.
Gasoline. How well do you think that vehicle would perform? Probably not very well. The highest performance happens when you use the highest quality fuel grade.
How well will it perform if you stuffed it with cigarette butts and Miller Lights?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. So if the vehicle wouldn't perform the way it should because it's not getting the right, in this case, food, how do you think that relates back to you? You know, if you're trying to achieve a certain level of performance, but you're not, but you're fueling yourself to do the opposite, is it any surprise why you're having difficulty achieving the plans that you set forth? Right? That's what we got on that one. Let's move on to this next one, number four here. And that is encouraging yourself with positive self-talk. All right. And we also had a great episode on this. That one was episode number 39. And encouraging yourself with positive self-talk is something that's quite difficult for people to do because the way that you speak to yourself at the end of the day, it's going to determine how well you follow your plan or not, really. And it takes a lot of discipline to do this. And like we said, you can check out episode 39. We're not going to go into full details, but the majority of people speak to themselves negatively throughout a majority of the day. And if you don't believe me, just think back to your last day or two and think about the thoughts that you might have had and how you spoke to yourself if you did things. Right? I know as traders, especially because there's money on the line, we tend to be very, very difficult on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I've caught myself calling myself a dumbass. You know, hopefully that's kosher on this. You know, calling myself a dumbass when I did things I shouldn't have done. You know, calling myself an idiot. You're such an idiot. Why'd you do that? You know, you shouldn't have done that. Little things like that. And that is going to affect how you actually follow a plan or how you don't follow the plan. So what we would recommend here is to pay attention, pay closer attention, give yourself more focus on how you're actually speaking with yourself and really focus on encouraging yourself to follow the plan and be supportive of yourself if you make a mistake. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're bound to make mistakes. But if every time you make a mistake, you call yourself an idiot, guess what? You're going to start believing that. And that's going to lead to more kind of destructive self-sabotaging behavior. Whereas if you're in a situation where you're giving yourself positive encouragement, you're more likely to follow the plan because, you know, win or lose, you're following the plan that you set forth. And that's more important than going off course and, you know, getting into the more emotional aspect of trading.
Love it, Marky. Like the things we say to ourselves, we would never let anyone say that to us verbally, right? So why do we do it? It's a very perplexing thing. One thing I'll add here is this is all about point number four, encourage yourself, positive self-talk / work on your personal development constantly. Like that one moment when you're at peak performance, All right, let's say like you have this one moment where everything's clicking, you're doing fantastic, your plan's working, the market's throwing you opportunities, and you're on the top of your game. And then the moment after that one, you're slipping already. So really, you know, it's in any field, not just trading. In trading, it's more apparent, but in any field, you want to constantly develop yourself. And I think there's it's like an alignment, like your wheels. They get aligned. But if you change the tire, what do you got to do? You got to realign your wheels. So same thing here in your personal life. You got to always go into realignment so you're back on the route that you need to be. Because as you perform at a high intensity, at a high level, like trading, you're naturally going to lose some of your alignment. And so you're going to need to do positive self-talk. You're going to need to do personal development. You need to do meditation. You're going to need to do a lot of that work for yourself to keep yourself in alignment. Because if you allow yourself to get off alignment, you know, it's a very thin level between performing, thin line between performing at a high level and then not cutting it. You know, yeah. Anyone who's played sports knows that feeling. And so I encourage you constantly do personal development. And I salute you for listening to podcasts like this, because this is what we're trying to help you with, and find others that support you in your personal development, and find other people who are also in their own personal development journey. If you're working with people who aren't looking to improve themselves, then, you know, look for other people.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly true. And that's one, I guess that's another reason why you'd want to join a community, is because the majority of people that enter a community, especially a trading community, are there to grow, to progress themselves. You know, more times than not, it's to become financially independent. But there's also some, not alternative, but I guess supplementary goals that accomplishing something like that would provide them the opportunity with. So I highly, highly agree with what Georgie said, is to, you know, encourage yourself with positive self-talk. That's one thing. But the other piece of the puzzle is also surround yourself with people that encourage you and that also are positive in their nature, right? Like Georgie said, if you're around, let's say you're around five people that are not going to where you want to get to, more likely than not, you're going to adopt the behaviors and the habits that they're using, or that they're, I guess, acting on, and you're going to achieve the results that they're getting as well. Whereas if you're in a group of, you know, high performers, people that focus on positivity, people that focus on progress, growth, and development, that is going to rub off on you, and you're going to start seeing that you might be thinking things differently. You might have a different perspective on things you might have not had a certain, or a, you might have had a different perspective on prior to meeting them. And that is really where the growth happens. It's not when you're comfortable, because more likely than not, if you're in a group that's not growing, you've gotten comfortable.
Yeah. Right?
And if you want to grow, you're going to have to be uncomfortable. And with that growth, or with being uncomfortable, that's where the majority of growth happens. And I'll just relate it back to diamonds. Diamonds come as a result of pressure being applied.
I love it, Marky. And I love that you brought up the five people, because what happens, like from a perspective of us working Monday to Friday, we work so hard to be on point, to be disciplined, to follow our plan. And then we go out with friends Saturday and Sunday, and all that goes to the crapper, right? And I think, look, this is going to sound kind of brutal. And I had a realization. I came from an environment where my friends weren't up to too much good. You know, they were getting themselves in trouble, going to jail, sometimes worse for some of them, to be honest with you. And like, as I think back to that moment, it's like, when, if you have two different lives, for one, you're trying to be a high performer, and then on the weekend, you're kind of hanging out with the crowd that, you know, isn't really supportive of what you're trying to do. You have two choices: either help bring them up, all right, or just find new friends. Because a lot of the times, the worst thing that you could do is work on yourself so you could build yourself up and then stoop to somebody else's level and allow them to break you down. Like, that's so destructive. If you're going to be hanging out with friends, you might as well be supporting them, right? You might as well be challenging them to get better if they're not doing the same for you. So this is important, because I think as a high performer, you have to kind of have high performing habits and a high performing circle. And this is sad, because, you know, for me, I've had to give up a lot of those friends. Like, I love a lot of them and what they stand for and what they did. Like, their morals were good, but their actions are bad. And eventually, how long could you go on trying to do something high performance when everyone's trying to sandbag it?
Yeah.
You know, it really messed with your identity. So stay high performance of all the time. Don't allow people to sap your negative energy down and take away from what you've built. Because if you keep building things and people take it away, you're still at ground zero.
Yeah, that's 100 right there. And the final point that we got to make here is something that we've already brought up. So it's more of a summarization. But the final thing that you can do to help you be more effective in following your plan is to identify your specific short-term needs that tend to overshadow your rules, your trading rules, and to brainstorm constructive ways of addressing those needs. All right. And so I'll give you a couple of examples here. All right. So the first example would be if you tend to overtrade maybe during slower markets. All right. If you tend to overtrade when the market's slower, where there's not as much volatility, not as much opportunity, then your short-term needs are to desire stimulation. I was gonna say simulation. Then you are desiring stimulation, all right? And what you want to do is you want to brainstorm creative ways of stimulating activities during the trading day so that you can avoid making those unwanted market activities, right? So if you find that it's the market's low, this is also kind of something like boredom, right? The boredom trade. You're being super patient and you're desiring stimulation. So you get into a trade because you want that stimulation. Well, there could be something else you do while that's happening, right? If the markets are slower or if you're waiting for a market to come into your trading level, then you can replace that boredom trade with something else that's stimulating. I don't know, maybe go for a walk, maybe do some push-ups, maybe do some exercises. You can even, you know, I think one of our members plays video games while they're waiting for it. You know, while they're waiting for the trade setups, right? So I'm not telling you to go and start playing video games during your active work hours, but what I'm telling you is to brainstorm some ideas to help you address those short-term needs. Because like we said at the beginning of this episode, you can't ignore them, right? Because they're gonna surface at some point in time, and when they do surface, and if you do feed into them, that's what leads to the destructive behavior. So the idea here is to identify those things that are taking you away from following your plan and to effectively put in place a preventative measure so that you don't do that, right? And then another reason why, or another thing you might consider doing, for example, is if you might be a little bit too patient, maybe you're waiting for the absolute perfect, absolute perfection in your setup. Before you actually execute on trades, then your short-term need is not so much about the opportunity. Your short-term need is more so about safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it might be the sense that you're not believing in what you're actually doing. So there's the clue. All right. Why am I having so much difficulty actually taking the trades if the setup is there? Or why am I waiting for such perfection? It's because you're valuing security and safety. And that is what your short-term need is. So how can you brainstorm a constructive way of addressing that while at the same time following your plan? That's the question that I'll leave off with you guys.
Awesome, man. And I'll leave you guys off with a thought experiment. So I just want you to take the sentence in, and when you have some time to ponder in your own pertaining to the market, I want you guys to think about this really deeply to yourselves, all right? You got to promise you're going to do the exercise. Here's a quote. Some people win by losing. Some people win by winning. Win or lose, everyone gets what they want from the market. And I'll leave it off, but that's Dr. Ed Saikoda. I love that. Just ponder that for a second and ask yourself, how do you win? Is it by losing money, but giving yourself excuses once again in life, or giving yourself shortcuts, or allowing yourself to be a little bit sloppy with your execution, allowing yourself to risk money without a plan? Or do you win when things come together and you win? All right, because you get what you want out of this market. And I believe in you guys. I know our community is extremely successful in this. And I'd love to see you guys out trading with us. And thank you so much for listening to this episode. I was extremely happy to be back in the studio. It was super fun.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen. As usual, if you guys can think of one person that might find today's message particularly helpful on their trading journey, please, please use your social media and share this episode with them. Also, guys, if you enjoy these podcasts, please jump onto iTunes, drop us a rating and a review. That's going to help us get in front of other traders such as yourselves and really help the world become more focused on the bulletproof mindset so that they can succeed. As always, thank you guys for taking the time to listen. If you have any feedback or any topic suggestions, you can also reach out to us at podcast@tradeproacademy.com. Until next time, guys, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.